Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. And I am so thankful that he called me to be a minister of the gospel. And I'm thankful. I was thanking God like today, like, oh my goodness, thanks for not calling me to address what's going on in the black church. Because that is just a mess. I don't even really want to deal with that. I'm like, wow, this, have we lost our minds, Pastor Ben?
It is with nuts.
Wow. We have lost our...
No respect for God.
I know.
Yeah, he thinks up the truth.
I thought after Tasha Cobb did the song with what's her name? What's the singer? Tasha Cobb. And she did a duet. She's a gospel singer, but she did I can't even think of her name. You know who she is. She is a secular singer. But I was like, why would a Christian singer do a gospel song with not just a secular artist, a filthy secular artist? You know, it's not like CeCe Winans and Whitney Houston, which was bad enough, right?
Right.
But Nicki Minaj, she did a gospel song with Nicki Minaj.
Wow.
And I was like, what is she doing? And now, you know, they celebrating her and giving her awards and everything. But all you got to do is compromise God and they will reward you.
Yeah.
So I just want all the people who are African-Americans to know that it is not OK to have Kanye West at your church doing praise and worship.
Amen.
It is not okay to have T.I. at your church. You guys are losing your minds.
Amen.
And I want to say this. Miss Lindsay Butler, spelled L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, B-U-T-L-E-R, all the way in the United Kingdom. This is your... diploma, your associate degree. It's inside here and it's spelled correctly. And Pastor Ben said, you are going to get it before the rapture. and she probably not laughing at that. She's like yeah, we'll see. Huh? No, she knows what it looks like. She just don't know what it looks like with the name spelled right. So when she gets it with the name spelled right, she'll be very happy. All right. Praise God. Okay. I want to talk about, first of all, this calling that I have. Only way you can actually do what I'm doing, and Chrissy, is that you would have to know that God called you, and you would have to have been there. For me to be the way I am, I have to be there when God called me, okay? I have to know that this happened, and I have to know that this is what God called me to do, okay? Because I'm the one that heard the voice, because I was praying for a job, and God, like, you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and speak. And I went, whoa. I got off my knees praying. I sat up. And I said, what was that? And I said, Lord, I can't be a minister because they have ministry school at night and I work at night. And the same voice said, what does that have to do with what I just told you? And I said, okay. So I went to church on that Sunday, and the pastor stood up and he said, we are moving ministry school to the daytime because too many people work at night. And I just went, okay. Now that's one experience I had with God. That was at the end of 1998. Once I finished the ministry school, I got a job. Well, I got fired from the federal prison where I was a counselor, and I was really a part-time minister, but you're not supposed to minister in there. So I ended up getting fired for ministering inside the prison. They don't allow you to minister. You can't bring your Bible and things like that. But the day I got fired, I was very happy. I went to Bible study, and from Bible study, a guy stood up and said, "Hey, you look like you'd be a good minister inside juvenile prison. Do you want a job?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Go see these people in the morning." Before I walked out of there, they were hiring me, right?
Wow.
And now I'm a prison minister, okay? And I'm going to churches, I'm preaching at churches, and I'm preaching inside the prison. And so this is God leading me into this. 2003, I'm still inside the prisons doing prison ministry. I'm in charge of 3 juvenile prisons, and I'm ministering the gospel in this prison. Young men are getting saved, everything. And then God tells me to start a church in 2004. But before that, he told me, in 2003, I woke up January 1st and God gave me a 6,000 year count from Adam to the end of 6,000 years. And when he gave me that count from Adam to 6,000 years, I thought it would end in 2018 because that would be the end of the 1948. And when I did the count, it ended at 2017. And I realized, okay, I was a year off. But God had given me this count. Like, I want you to count, begin to count 6,000 years in the Bible, and I'm going to lead you through it, right? So God is leading me through this count, showing me this. And then now you go exactly to here, and then it's going to tell you it's 400 years here. And the count is so incredible that I started giving it to people to see if it was off, and nobody could find any flaws in it. But people start finding prophecy in it, like noticing that the 1948th year, Abraham's father began having children, right? And then noticing things about the when Jesus was born, 17 years before the 4,000 year. All of this stuff was coming up, different prophecies inside of the count. But nobody could disclaim of the count. So I'm praying, I'm thanking God for this, for showing me this. And then the Lord says, "This is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard." And I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell people that the end of time is 2017, and we had better be ready, right? And if it's 2017, Lord, then the rapture's got to be 7 years before that. So is it going to be a rapture in 2010? And so I'm like on fire, right? I'm telling people, I'm witnessing more. Now I'm on my, I'm like on fire, okay? And then God tells me, come out of this prison and I want you to start a church. And I didn't want to do that because I thought I was working the best job ever. I'm in a prison. I'm going to 3 different prisons every day. I'm teaching classes. I'm teaching Bible studies. I don't want to do anything else. And God knows, says, no, I want you to start a church. So I started looking for churches, and people were turning me down. We went to Long Beach City College. They turned me down. They said, no, you can't have a church here. Because if we give you a church, then we got to get a Muslims a church, then we got to get a Buddhist a church, and then that's going to be a big problem. So, no, you can't have one. And so I said, well, Lord, you told me to do this on my fast. I fast for 3 days. After I fast for 3 days, the college called me back and said, you know, we just thought about that church thing that you wanted to do here. We think it'll be a great idea. When can you get started? And so on my 3rd day of my fast, They gave us the school and we started having church, okay? And what's my mission? The end times is coming. Prepare my people to leave. But at the end of that, what did God say? And it's going to be hard to preach this, okay? I thought everybody would be enthused to hear about the rapture coming because I think the church should be happy about leaving, right? No. I realize if you tell people that the rapture is coming, or you start talking about the rapture, church people really kind of think you're kind of cuckoo, right? They're like, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, it's a crazy idea. Think about it. We're going to be standing around one day and then one poof, we're going to disappear and be in heaven. It's like, okay. But the only thing is the Bible talks about it. And a matter of fact, not only does the Bible talk about it, the Bible talks about it from the very beginning to the very end. Okay? And so we know that this rapture thing and this wedding and this wedding banquet and all of these things are going to happen. And but God has given me this 6,000 year count that I can't deny. And then now God is showing me other things so that I know that I'm on the right track. Okay? And so we're going to go over some of those things. Right now, I want to talk to you about a prophecy that happened. I'm just getting my time. I want to talk to you about a prophecy that happened in 1217. And many of you know of this prophecy. It's a prophecy of a Jewish rabbi. His name is Judah ben Samuel. And he prophesied every Jubilee from 1217 to 1967. And then he said at the 11th Jubilee would be the last Jubilee and the Messiah would come. Okay? So he gave this prophecy, remember, 1217. Okay? The year 1217. And this is what he said. Okay? He said, the Turks are going to take Jerusalem and they're going to rule over Jerusalem for 8 Jubilees. How long is a Jubilee?
50 years.
50 years. So he said the Turks are going to come, they're going to take Jerusalem, and they're going to rule over Jerusalem for 8 Jubilees, which is 400 years, or, you know, the division of 50, 50, and 50, right? So, after 300 years, in the year of Jubilee, 1517, the Turks came and conquered Jerusalem, and they ruled over Jerusalem from 1517 to 1917. Okay? So, his prophecy, because that's 400 years, his prophecy came true to the exact time. Now, he gives this prophecy in 1217, so they're watching to see if this prophecy is going to come true. 1217, something happens, because he said it's only going to last till 1917. 1917, General Allenby comes into Jerusalem and conquers the Turks and takes Jerusalem back. And with a promissory note to give the land back to the Jews. Okay? Now he says, after that, the 9th Jubilee, the next 50 years, Jerusalem will be called no man's land. This is his prophecy that he gives in 1217. So from 1917 to 1967, guess what Jerusalem looked like? A wasteland. There was nothing there. No vegetation, nothing growing. As a matter of fact, they said no, it didn't even rain there. For 50 years, it didn't even rain in the area. It was like a desert. They said it looked like somebody had bombed the land and just made it dry and desolate. Okay? So for the next 50 years, it was called no man's land. The British owned it, but they didn't do anything with it. The Palestinians didn't care about it, so it just sat, right? Till 1967. Now, after the 1967 came, they fought the Six-Day War. And in 1967, when they fought the Six-Day War, Israel won back Jerusalem, right? And so now, Jerusalem, the Jews are in charge of Jerusalem. And they're in control of Jerusalem. Now they're starting to plant in the area. And for the first time in 2,520 years, the Jews are back in control of the land. Okay? Now, 1967. Now, let me explain something to you. The rules of the Jubilee is this. All land must go back to the original owners. Okay? Every year, Jerusalem is always the topic of the Jubilee. So from 1967, they wouldn't have another Jubilee till 2017. We know that 1917, it was won back by the Turks, and they got back Jerusalem. We know in 1967, there's a six-day war, and they won back Jerusalem. But what's going to happen in 2017? Somebody has to declare Jerusalem to belong to the Jews who have not done it since 1967. Now listen, since 1967, every president kept saying, we're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem and give Jerusalem back to the Jews. For 50 years, nobody did anything. Is God still watching from above? God knows in 2017, Israel has to be proclaimed to belong to the Jews in order to fulfill the 50-year Jubilee. Am I right? So if it doesn't happen, scripture is broken. But if it does happen, then what? God is real.
Yes.
And who does he choose? Donald Trump. Out of all people in the world, Donald Trump does this thing. And everybody said, Donald, don't do this. I mean, I'm sure they called him Mr. President. Mm-hmm. But they said, don't do this. Do not declare Jerusalem, and you're going to move the embassy there. Do not do this. It's going to cause a war. It's going to cause a lot of problems. But God is controlling his mind. He said, no, I'm doing it. Because he has to do what? Fulfill prophecy. So Donald Trump announces that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, and we're moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Exactly 50 years from 1967. Listen, if God is not still involved, this doesn't happen.
Amen.
You understand? God did that to show you that he's still involved.
Amen.
I wanted to show you guys. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 25 once again. Second Kings chapter 25. Now listen to this. Chapter 25, verse 8. On the seventh day of the fifth month in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the commander of the imperial guards and official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, and he set fire to the temple of the Lord. What year was he in? What year was Nebuchadnezzar in his rulership? The 19th year. So for 19 years, he left Jerusalem alone. You understand? He let them live in Jerusalem. As long as they obeyed. They didn't obey. He comes back exactly 19 years later. And what does he do? He burns down the temple. Now they have both Judah and Jerusalem in the control of Babylon. But it was 19 years apart. Exhibit A. Exactly 2,520 years later, Israel gets the land back in 1948, but they don't have Jerusalem. Exactly 19 years later, they get back to Jerusalem, 1967. The whole thing that caused this problem was World War I that happened in 1914 on Hanukkah. Okay? On the 24th of Kislev. 19 years later, Hitler becomes chancellor. Why am I showing you this? Some of you guys already know this. Because you forget that God is directly involved in what we're doing. Some people think I'm crazy. But I'm trying to tell you, God is directly involved in what we're doing here. You understand? My job has not changed. As crazy as I can look for anybody, my job has not changed. And I won't change it until God speaks to me again and says, change the job. Amen. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's read chapter 29 first, okay? Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22.
Sarah, Tennessee said crazy like a fox.
Amen. I'm telling you guys, I am happy every day. I'm happy like God is like, I am still with you. Who do you think is leading you? God already told me he's leading me.
Amen.
I am leading you. Why? Because it's hard to keep people who want to go to sleep awake. And this is going to keep you awake. You know why? Because at any time the bell could ring. At any time the trumpet could blow. At any time you could be out of here. And people keep listening to me. You know why? Because they know what I'm telling them is true. They say, well, you've been wrong. You know what I've taught you is true. That's why you listen to me.
Right.
Because you're not crazy. I mean, we've got doctors, television people. We've got a lot of smart people that listen to this broadcast.
Amen.
I cannot sit up here and tell you something that is incorrect in scripture and you continue listening to me.
Amen.
You're listening to me because you know that the scriptures that I'm showing you have coming from somewhere else.
Amen.
Okay? Now listen to this as we go through this. Because I want you to get a hard understanding that God is involved. Okay? Now watch this. Deuteronomy 29, verse 22. Your children who follow you in the later generations, whose Bible say the later generations? Okay. Now, in the Hebrew, that says that follow you in the Ladur Ha'acharon, in the last generation. You understand? So he's saying, your children that follow you in the Ladur Ha'acharon, the last generation, and foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamity that have fallen on the land and the disease which the Lord has afflicted it. Who's he talking about? Jerusalem. He said the whole land will be a burning waste of salt and sulfur. Nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, or Adam and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew with fierce anger. So he says, in the last days, when people come back to the land, he says the same thing that the rabbi said. The land's going to be called no man's land. It's going to be desolate. No one living there. It'll be a desert. But this is written in Deuteronomy. So if Ben Judah is in 1217, gives the prophecy, 4,000 years before he's born, God already told you that prophecy. And he's telling you that it's going to be in the Ladur Ha'acharon. Now watch this in chapter 30, verse 5. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and that you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous in number than your fathers. He will bring you back to the land that your fathers once owned. What scripture is this in Torah? the 5,708 verse of the Torah, which stands for the year 1948. God already put it in the scripture to tell you what year they were coming back. I'm trying to tell you God is involved, okay? And if you're not religious, you'll start treating your relationship with God like he is directly involved in this world's affairs.
Right.
And we better watch out who we're playing with.
Amen.
We see people having church, and I mean they're playing church. You understand?
Yeah.
It's easy to play church. It's easy to go there and sing and dance, and you're looking around for a new boyfriend or a new whatever, right? And you're really not there for Jesus, but you go to church because the atmosphere is very exciting, right? But you're not into Jesus. You're not into growing. You're not into studying his word. You're not into it for the right reasons. There's a guy that did a list of all the cults in the world, and he said Jehovah's Witness, Muslims, Mormonism, this. And then at the end, he said, and the black church.
Ooh.
And I went, what do you mean the black church?
Wow.
He said, oh, it's a cult.
Wow.
I said, how do you figure it's a cult? He said, nobody there living it. Everybody's dancing. They're falling out over the place. They're doing the drums, and everybody's running around, and all this whole thing. And he said it's a cult. He said because a cult is something that you follow, but it doesn't necessarily change the inner person. It's just the religion that you follow. So we don't want to be a part of a cult. We want to understand that we're part of a relationship with a living God who is active in this world, and he's doing things. Otherwise, Donald Trump is not president. I guarantee you he's not president. Did you hear the speech he gave at the UN? He said, at the UN, he said, globalism is not the answer to safety and peace. Nationalism is. If you want to have peace and security, you have to love the nation that you're in. We are not giving in to these globalists and their ideas about what the future should be like.
Wow.
I was waiting. I was like, somebody stand in front of him. I was waiting for somebody to stand. It's like, oh, God. But we're praying for him, right?
Right.
Wow.
Then he started talking about the right for children to live, rather in the body or out of the
right.
body, is the right for them to live. Then he started talking about we are sick and tired of these people trafficking human beings. And he said, we've got to end it. It is not for decent human beings.
Wow.
He's at the UN talking to them like this.
Wow.
He came to California last week and said, your homeless problem is sick. He says, we're not giving this place another dime till we find out how to work this out. Even if we have to come up with our own plan, we'll handle it because we see you ain't doing nothing with the money.
No. He said that?
That's what he said. Dude, everybody in California was mad at him.
Why?
And like he's always trying to make the mayors look bad. If you're not doing nothing, look bad.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, we better.
But the majority of what he said was this. Jerusalem belongs to the Jews.
Yes.
Wow. And he said that. He didn't say it in 2018. He had to do that right on time. He's got to line up with what God is doing, right? He's the 45th president of the United States. Read Isaiah 45. What does it talk about? Cyrus giving Jerusalem back to the Jews. Isaiah 45. Look, okay, let's read it. Isaiah 45. Oh, I'm in Psalms. I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? Okay. Listen, you guys. I'm going to talk to you. We haven't started yet. I'm going to talk to you in a minute. Okay, 45. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him, and to strike kings of their armor, and to open doors for him, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level mountains. I will break down gates, bronze, and cut through bars of iron. So this is for talking about Cyrus. And what does Cyrus do? Cyrus makes an announcement that Israel can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the land. And Israel is calling Trump the second coming of Cyrus. I'm telling you guys, look, God's working right in front of your face and we're not seeing it. Okay? Let me get back to my notes. Okay. So, in saying that, the Lord said, people heard you, but they didn't listen. You heard me speak, but you didn't listen. I wanted to ask you the question. All of these years go by, right? All of these years go by. Tell me, which pastor told you that the 120-year count that God was talking about till the end for the flood with Noah, that God was doing the exact 120-year count from 1901 to 1920? Where have you heard that before I said it?
I've never heard it.
God's like, I told you that. Didn't I tell you that? I said, look, go back and grab J.R. Church's book and comb through that book, and you'll see that I started prophesying in 1901 and that the end of that prophecy ends 2020. It's the 120th year after 1901, and now you're going to get the Psalm of Ascent.
Wow.
And now, once you get that, you'll understand. Now, God showed it to me backwards. Because before he told me that, he says, you'll see that Psalms 20 through Psalms 27 is the rapture. And I was like, well, let me look at this to see if it's true. A couple of people sent me things and said, Psalms 24 looks like it's the middle of the rapture. So I started looking through it. And I was going to say, by golly, but that's my grandmother's word. It was true. Listen, here, let's go to Psalms 120. And I'm going to get to. Look, wait a minute. First of all, I was studying this today. At the 120 prophecies, that 120 prophecy always is Israel crying out to God, help us, we are in deep trouble, help us, we are in deep trouble in Psalms 120, okay? They are crying out to God in Psalms 120 for the Lord to help them because they're in trouble. It says, I called on the Lord in my distress and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you? And what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with the warrior's sharp arrows and with burning coals of broom trees. So they're crying out to God to help us in these stressful times. This is 2020 that they're going to be doing this. Why are they going through this? Because the tribulation, their birth pains begin when we leave.
Yeah.
If this isn't true, why would these next seven scriptures read the same pattern of the tribulation? In Psalms 21. I mean 121. It says God, so God answers their prayer in 121, right? So it says, he says, I lift up my eyes to the hill, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your feet slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. So God is letting them know, I know this is the time of your trouble. I know this is the time of your tribulation, but don't worry, I'm watching over you.
Yes.
Psalms 22 reads like this. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. They don't have a house right now. There's nobody in Israel saying, let's go to the house of the Lord.
Right.
They say, let's go to the Kotel Mahamaravi, let's go to the Western Wall. But nobody's saying, let's go to the house of the Lord, because it's not standing. But in 2022, they're saying, let us go. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Who's talking about rebuilding the temple? Every Jewish person there. A matter of fact, even the Illuminati is happy about Trump wanting to rebuild the temple, because that's what they've always wanted. And so now they're talking about rebuilding the temple.
Pastor Sandy, Marlene Yeager.
Yes.
She said she was in the bank today. She said the teller told her in 2020, everybody's going to have a chip in order to withdraw from the bank. And she was happy about it.
You know what? What's her name again?
Marlene Yeager.
Marlene, let me tell you something. If we sit here and talk about everything that they're doing, preparing for the tribulation, and what Christians are doing to prepare to leave, it's absolutely crazy. Because I've tried to explain to you that they're doing, you know, they had in the newspaper the other day, Trump, they called, trying to make Trump look like a bad person. He's using a Walmart facility to house immigrants, and it's unhuman-like. Is not suitable for humans. Wait a minute. 3 years ago when I said that they were building Walmarts so that they could hold people in, you said I was crazy. Now Trump's got them. You say he got them in a Walmart by the border. I'm like, when did Walmart become a holding facility for prisoners? But I told you they were closing them for that reason. Okay, so now they're doing it. Look, but that's not all. We could go through all of the things that they're doing, preparing the world for tribulation. God is doing everything possible to let you know how real he is.
Amen.
Everything possible by history, because this is how God proves himself. When this happens, you'll know that I am God. And when this happens, you'll know that I am God. Okay? When Israel came back into the world, you should have known that I was God. When I waited exactly 19 years before I gave them Jerusalem on a Jubilee year, you should have knew that I was God. Okay? When I caused Trump to announce Jerusalem in 2017, exactly 50 years from 1917 and 100 years, I mean from 1967 and 100 years from 1917, you should have knew I was God. But God does all of this right in front of our face, and we don't see it, and we don't recognize that he's God. Okay? Now, the scariest part of this was 124, which is mid-trib. And the whole scripture is about God rescuing them from a flood of water. Okay? We've gone over this, but God is rescuing them from a flood. And there's scriptures that talk about this flood of water that the Antichrist is going to send out against the nation of Israel. The other scary scripture was Psalms 126, which Jesus says, I will return with my sheaves, with the wheat harvest and the barley harvest. He's saying, don't worry, the one who left is coming back with his sheaves. In 2026, So listen to me, you guys. God has done enough to prove to us that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Okay? Many people out of there don't believe that anything is ever going to happen. Okay? I'm not one of those. Okay? I'm not one. I think one day we're all going to wake up and we're going to be very shocked. Okay? The whole world's going to wake up and they're going to go, oh my God, it was true. Okay? But at that time, it's too late because now you're in tribulation. I have a whole church full. You should have saw a church packed full of people dancing around while Kanye West raps and people are dancing in a church. New Birth, where Eddie Long, who was the pedophile, the homosexual pedophile in the church, he dies, and they bring in Jamal Bryant, who just got kicked out of his church for cheating on his wife. And they bring him in to be the new pastor, and what does he do? He brings in Kanye West to do the praise and worship. Now, you guys don't know, but then T.I. and then some other guy, they Killer Mike. Now, what Killer Mike doing at your church? Now, after the service, T.I. and Killer Mike complained that they took up too many offerings. They said they already took up offering. Why are they taking up offering again? Here's two rappers going, this isn't right. The pastor thought he was getting dissed, and he says, no, we're still with you, man. We just thought it was a little bit too much. So, look.
I'm sorry, Pastor, got something.
Yeah.
A fellow that goes by the initials DF wants to know what it needs to do to be saved.
That's a beautiful question. To be saved, this is what you need to do first. You need to repent. And listen what I say when I say repent. Because people go, I haven't done anything wrong. You know you've done something wrong. We all know we've sinned. But some people don't think that they're sinners. You were born with a disease called sin. Okay? Rather, you think you've done anything wrong, you're infected. Okay? And if you've ever lied, or you've ever stole, or if you've ever looked at a woman lustfully, you know you've done something wrong, right?
Yes.
Somebody has to pay for those sins. And now, you've got to figure out if you want to pay for your own sins, or you want to hear the good news. And here's the good news. God came into this world, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, for your sins, so that you don't have to pay your own price for your own sins.
His name is Dennis.
Dennis. So you don't have to pay the price for your sins. So now it's a matter of, do I accept Christ's pardon? Because he just bailed you out. Do I accept his pardon? Or do I continue and say, I'm not going to repent, I'm going to live my life and continue live. Now, if you repent, all you got to do is, first of all, repent and confess. Lord, I've sinned against you. Father God, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins, meaning I am turning around this day. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. You died on the cross. I believe you rose on the third day. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sin. And once you do that, you'll feel something that you've never felt before. And it's the Holy Spirit hitting inside of you.
Yes.
And that will start a new beginning. Now, after that, and this is what churches don't tell you, now you begin your walk with him. Find someone to disciple you. Begin to read your Bible. Study the word. Make decisions daily against sin and for Christ. Understand? Walk it out. Don't just accept and then next day go back to the same thing. Accept and then let the Holy Spirit lead you, but I mean lead you by studying your word and having a desire to truly walk for it. And God will help you in that process. Okay?
Amen.
So I hope that answered that question.
Amen.
All right, let's go. We're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We went through Matthew. 1 Thessalonians.
I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians.
Chapter 4. You guys know this. It is chapter 4. Wait a minute. It's verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to this great news. He says, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So everyone who has died, don't worry about it. If they died in Christ, Jesus is bringing them with him.
Yes.
Right? To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. So don't worry about them. I don't worry about my mom. I know my mom's in heaven.
Right.
Okay. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They will get their resurrected bodies first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up, raptured, harpazoed together with them, okay, in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Amen. Pastor Dennis said, I have asked Jesus to save me and forgive me.
Hallelujah, Dennis. Now, give him, make sure he has my email, Pastor Ben.
I'll make sure he has it.
And so I can send him some information, and then we can exchange numbers and we can talk. Because I want to talk to you. Praise God. Congratulations. It says the angels in heaven are now throwing a party.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 That is the greatest moment of your life right there. You have just become a new creature in Christ Jesus because you never had the Spirit of God inside of you before. You've been born again. Hallelujah. All right. Now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 14.
That's a beautiful thing.
Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. We're in Revelation chapter 13, not 14, 13.
Revelation 13?
Yes. I ran through all that history to explain to you guys something. Now, you see this right here? Pastor Ben, remember this?
Oh, yeah.
That is a prophecy of every pope that will serve in the Vatican. And this was a prophecy given by a Saint Malachi.
Yeah.
And his prophecy prophesied all the popes up until the last pope. And now he's gone, but he already said the last pope will be Peter the Roman, right?
He was in there now.
Francis comes in there, but you have to understand how he gets the name Peter. And it's because they come under a certain sect. And then now, but he has to be Roman though, okay? Francis came from Portugal or something like, some Spanish country. But when you find out what his last name, his dad is from... His dad is Italian.
Yeah.
His dad's from Rome, right? So he is Roman. And he is Peter the Roman. So the guy said that guy will be the last pope before the Messiah comes.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if you went through this, you would see he prophesied every one of them exactly by name and characteristic.
Yeah.
Okay? God already gave us this to let you know. I gave somebody this information so you'd know when the last pope is here, it's time. Okay? This last pope has been pretty crazy. Okay? Yeah. Telling a homosexual guy that God blessed you to be homosexual and you're going to be okay. Okay? We're not watching. Okay? Here we go. Revelation chapter 13. We're going to finish up here. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave the beast the power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have been fatally wounded, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world, we're gone now when this is happening. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. The whole world, men worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war with him? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise authority for 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. So this is happening when? In 2024. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And then people always go, see, I told you we'd be there in the tribulation. Those are tribulation saints.
Right.
And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nations. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. I remember Jesus turning to the apostles and said, be glad about this one thing, that your names are written in the book of life. Okay? Be glad about that, that your name is written in the book of life. God is warning the world that something is coming. Okay? Pastors are warning the world, something is coming.
Yes.
We're giving you as many proofs as we can. Something is coming. Okay? God called me, and here I am since 2004, since we opened this church, the same message. We're still here. Okay? We're still preaching, get ready for the change, because it's going to happen in this world. Okay? As we read along in this chapter, it says, during the tribulation, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear this. If anyone goes into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed by the sword he will be killed. This calls for patience and endurance on the part of the saints. Then I saw the beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image
to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in his hand or in his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number, for it is man's number or the number of a man, and his number is 666. Something's coming.
Yeah.
Something's coming. Revelation chapter 20. What does it say? Everyone who did not take the mark was beheaded. That's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. It says, those who continue to try to live for God during the tribulation, it says they were beheaded in Revelation chapter 20. I show you in 2013 that the United States government purchased 30,000 guillotines.
5 minutes.
But are we listening? Because in the tribulation, I don't know if these videos will be up.
They won't.
So I think this is the time to listen to what is about to happen. It's all sitting right here. It's like we are about to enter into one of the greatest moments in history. I told you about my dream. I was up at 2 a.m. and I said, Lord, this is it. And the title of this message, this is a real wolf. In my ear. This is a real wolf. Okay? This is not everybody's going to be disappointed. This is a real wolf.
Yes.
Prepare the people. Now me, I'm going, they've heard this from me before. Lord, show me something. I go to sleep and I land in a place and planes are falling out of skies into buildings. The water is flushing up against buildings and ships are running into buildings. Cars are swirling in the air, hitting buildings. And I'm like, what is going on here? I go to the other side and everybody's dancing and selling roses for $6.
Six.
I said, Lord. He said, the same day the destruction is coming, joy and dancing and celebration is coming to the people of God. What number did you see, Sandy? Six. That's the Vav, salvation. They have salvation. The other side is in deep trouble.
Yes.
And all we're trying to do is warn people. It's coming. Whether you want to believe it or not, I know we ignore everything. Look, you live in an evil world. There's a place in California. It's a restaurant called the Cannibal Restaurant, right?
Cannibal?
Yeah. It's a cannibal. It's for people eating people.
Ew.
It's in California, and they can't close it down. I'll send you the link, Pastor Ben. They'll send you information, but they won't tell you where it is. But it's in California. Of course, it's got to be in California because Hollywood's in California.
Right.
And Hollywood's as evil as anything, right? All of these things are going on while we're here. Okay. All these pedophiles getting caught while we're here. Look what's going on, okay? People are doing stuff that we never thought. We like, how could anybody be that evil? All this is going on while we're here. And God is like, get ready, it's coming, right? Sin is too big.
Paul said the caskets are here in Georgia.
Oh, he's in Georgia?
He said the caskets are here.
Yeah, see, he just reminded me that about the 500,000 caskets that they delivered to the closed Walmart. Okay, 500,000 caskets. What are those for? Oh, they're casket liners. Now, this is stuff they got on camera. You know what I mean? This is not stuff that we have to read that was written 2,000 years ago. This is stuff that got on camera. God is constantly trying to wake people up to let people know that something is about to happen. But we don't believe it.
because we didn't live through World War I. We didn't live through World War II. We didn't live through the plagues of 1940 when a virus was killing 500,000 Americans and millions of people all over the world. We didn't live through that, but it was prophesied that it was coming, and it did happen. And this is going to happen. And so we're asking people to wake up. Everyone out there, I want you to make sure you pray for Dennis tonight. Pray that God gives him a heart to live for him. Pray for God. Pray for God to get me in contact to him so we can encourage him, because this is the best thing that's ever happened in his life. Amen. We're saved. Jesus said this to the disciples. I'm going to stop, Pastor Ben. Jesus said this to the disciples. Very few that get saved.
Yeah.
It's not many that get saved. Very few, okay? The Lord showed me a scripture that said, all souls are mine. I was like, well, I want my son to be saved and my daughter's in Canada. God said, all souls belong to me. Because you call them family, it's not yours. That's not your soul. That's my soul,
right?
I love them. I'm trying to get them saved. But all souls belong to God, okay? I want everyone to get saved. God wants everyone. But listen, rejection of the gospel in a world of deceit is very hard. So we got to keep praying for them. Understand? But believe me, every soul in this world belongs to God. Okay? And he has to separate them, rather they have been cured or not cured. And that was the dream God gave me in 2009. He gave me a dream. All of these cute little poodles were in the yard, right? And he said, all of them have rabies. Which one of them can come in your house? Which one can come in your house? They're all cute and fluffy, and they got little... None, right? What if you could cure them? You could give them a shot, and it cured all the rabies. You would let them come in your house then, right? What if there was a few that didn't want to take the cure? They can't come in. It's the same thing. I made you. You're cute. You're fluffy. You're beautiful. I made you. But if you don't take the cure, you can't come in my house. And that's where we're at, okay? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
We had 533 people live.
All right.